Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord on today. We welcome you to the show on today. In Jesus' name, this is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. In Jesus' name, we praise God for being here. If you are listening to me today, you are blessed. And it's not because of me. It's not because of my voice. I can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living. And that is a reason to give God some praise on today. Amen. We praise God for being here on today. I want to take this moment before we get started. And I want to give a special, because I told this young man that I was going to do this, and he going to get me if I don't, because I promised him I would do it, so I'm going to do it. I want to give a special birthday shout out to my oldest son, Joshan. I love you. Happy birthday. His birthday was on Valentine's Day, so he just turned 12 years old, and so we thank God.
Happy birthday, young man.
I thank God for my son turning 12, because, and the reason why I say that, for all of my children, every time they have a birthday, I try to give them a birthday shout out over the airwaves, because we do not know when our children, our children are God. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as much as, things that we are seeing nowadays, we send our children to school, we send our children here and there, and only thing we have when we send them, only thing they have is the blood of Jesus covering them.
Yeah.
So I thank God for my son living to age 12, amen, because there's a lot of children not living to age 12 anymore, in Jesus' name. So I thank God for that. Amen. Today, and let me say this, I give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. I give honor to the honorable, amen. Pastor,
amen.
Pastor, apostle,
bless.
Amen. I don't know all the other names, amen.
Just fine.
Praise him. Amen, Apostle Cook, in Jesus' name, who is the head of this network, in Jesus' name, God bless you, and all of the Spirit Alive Network family, in Jesus' name, God bless you all in your various places. Amen. Now that we got the preliminaries out of the way, amen. I thank God for our topic on today, because the Lord had been dealing with me on last week. We talked about a Christian of the gospel, and it's a little, I guess you could say it's a little mini series, I guess. I don't know. That's what the Lord gave to me. It's a little mini series. And last week we talked about a Christian of the gospel. God is not mocked. And today we are talking about, we cannot serve two masters.
Amen.
We cannot serve two masters. Now you might say, well, you, Minister Adam, you're talking about sinners. I'm not just talking about sinners. I'm mainly talking about the people of God. But yes, we are talking about sinners and those alike. But we're talking about the people of God today. Because the church has taken itself away from the plan and the move of God, slowly but surely. And we have found ourselves, some of us, not all of us, but some have found themselves serving two masters.
Mm-hmm.
Some, they try to serve the enemy 1 minute, or they try to serve their flesh. And if you're serving your flesh, you're serving the enemy. So let me be blunt with that. If you're serving your flesh, you're still serving the enemy, because you're not serving God.
Amen.
Amen. So, but some saints and some sinners, or a lot of sinners, they try to serve two masters. 1 minute they want to serve God. 1 minute they go into church. The next minute they not going to church. The next minute they not serving God. If the pastor makes them mad, they ready to leave the church. And I know I say that a lot, because it's true. The word of God is not here. The word of God is not here to just tickle and to tickle us.
To feel good.
Make us feel good. Right. Thank you. The word of God is not here to just make us feel good. And it is here to make us feel good, to lift our spirit, to encourage us. But it's also here to correct and cut out what is not of God.
Yes.
It's a two-edged, the Bible says it's a two-edged what? Sword.
Sword.
It's a two-edged sword.
Amen.
Which means it's going to double cut whatever is not like God out of you.
Amen.
We talked about it last night, that the word of God, God himself, he chases who he loves.
Yes.
He's going to go after those things that are in a person that is not of God. He's going to go after, he's not specifically coming after, he's chasing us, he's trying to get our attention, but he's not specifically coming after us, but he's coming after the things that are in us that are not pleasing unto him, so he can get it out of us so we can become pleasing unto him.
Amen.
But there are some that will try to serve both God and man. And when I mean God and man, it's not just humans, even though we have some of those people too, in the church and out of the church. But they try to serve the devil and God at the same time. But we got to make a choice today. I want to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, just to open up this topic today. And my Spirit Alive family, y'all will have something to say on this topic today. Amen. we were talking before the show started, and the Spirit Alive family know what I'm talking about. Amen.
Y'all, we talking.
Amen.
Can't call them retarded.
Matthew, see, I'm just bold with mine. I'm sorry. I'm bold with mine. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And it reads, "No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon," which means man. What this is saying to us is we must make a choice. We must make a choice whether or not if we want to serve God or if we want to serve the devil. How will we, in serving, we must choose where we want our life to go. Now, I say this, I said this to somebody that I was witnessing to a long time ago. We can choose where our life goes, but we cannot choose the consequences of our life. God gives us choice whether if we want to serve him, but God does not give us the choice at the end of it where we spend eternity. We do get that choice by the life that we live. But after that life is over, God decides, because he is what? The final judge. We all have to stand before him in the end. And if our life is not pleasing unto God, we will not make it to heaven. And I'm just being blunt. Because there is no sin in heaven. Amen. Now, since we can't serve God and man,
amen,
we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. Now, let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses, I believe it's 4 through 8. Because I want to show you something. I want, these go into Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Amen. James chapter, verses 4 through 8. And it reads, ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lust to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but give grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Amen. This is what, and I'm stopping reading right here. I'm stopping reading right here because he's letting us know that we cannot dwell in sin and yet serve him. He's letting us know that. The scriptures, he's saying that in these holy scriptures that we read day to day, from Genesis to Revelation, it talks about this stuff. We have to be in God. If we choose not to be in God, this is what we get. Amen? But we must submit ourselves unto God. We can't submit ourselves to our flesh. We cannot submit ourselves to the devil. We cannot submit ourselves to our own thought. We cannot submit ourselves to anything else when it comes to spiritual guidance, when it comes to spiritual stands, when it comes to getting to heaven. We cannot submit ourselves. We cannot submit our thought process, our mind, body, and soul unto nobody but God. We can't. Because we won't be able to live without it. We will not be able to live. We won't. We cannot live a godly life without Jesus Christ. You can't do it. You cannot do it. Nobody can do it without Jesus. And I hear people in the world, they say, well, I got spirituality. I have spirituality. What is your spirituality? There's a big friction on social media about Beyonce and her concert and this one pastor rebuking her church. She was telling them, if you go to this concert, you gonna go in danger. How dare you try to say that you are a Christian if you go into this woman's concert and you know what she's saying for? Some people in God are supposed to be in God, will walk straight into danger. Oh, my, I'm so saved that I can do it. No, you don't walk in danger where the devil is. You don't walk on the devil's territory, and you know full well where the devil, That's playing Russian roulette with your spiritual life. That's why we got, and these people that are, these people that this pastor was rebuking, they wasn't going there to witness. Because you might say, well, maybe they might go there to witness to somebody and get some, they weren't going there to witness. They was not buying tickets to go there to witness to people. They was going there to listen to Beyonce. I'm telling you that right now.
Come on, tell the truth now.
See, I'm young. I'm a young person. And I know what them, and yes, I've been saved since the age of 9, and I've never been to a worldly concert in my life. I've never been. But out of my saved life from age 1 to 8, I've been unsaved. And before September the 7th of 1997, I was unsaved. And just because I was a child does not mean I did not understand what was going on in the unsaved lifestyle. Because we come into this world a sinner. You don't have to be taught how to sin. A person does not have to be taught how to sin. Amen.
Don't
have to be taught. A person from age 1 to 100 does not have to be taught how to sin. Because they come into this world a sinner. That's why they don't have to be taught how to sin. But they have to be taught how to come out of sin. And that's why we have to choose whether or not if we want to serve God or serve man or serve the devil, whichever one you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make a choice. We can't. That's why when, and there's nothing against, I have nothing against people's religion. You're going to believe what you want to believe. If you don't like it, turn me off. But I'm here to tell you, there is no, the Catholics, they believe that there is a purgatory. There is no purgatory. There is no purgatory. There is no gray area. The purgatory, what they believe that purgatory is that you can pray somebody out of hell once they die. You can't do it. That their body is, that their soul is waiting to be, Once a person dies, that's it. They live their life. And they're going to be judged. After death comes, you come before the throne of God. And if the rapture has not taken place yet, and if the white throne of judgment hasn't taken place yet, people that have died, they either open up their eyes in heaven or they open up their eyes in hell. It's no in between. There is no gray area. That's why we have to make a choice. Amen. Now, how do we get to make a choice? Well, like I said, you don't have to be taught how to sin, but you got to be taught the word of God to be able to make a choice. First, you must believe. That's the first thing. When you hear the word of God, you must believe. You got to believe in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
John chapter 14, verse 1. Then after you have believed on what you have heard, then you'll act upon your belief, which is you receiving the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Then after you have received the Holy Ghost, then a mind change happens. A mind change. Why do I need a mind change to walk with God? Because living holy, I'm gonna tell you this. Living holy and living saved is very easy. You might say, "Oh no, Brother Adam, that's blasphemy. You're lying. You're you You done blasphemed? No, I didn't. No, I didn't. It's easy. Oh, it's hard for me to live holy. It's hard for me to live safe. What about all of these demons and all of these problems I got to go through and all of this stuff? It's easy if you have the Holy Ghost. And if you let the Holy Ghost lead you and guide you into all what? Truth. It's hard if you kick against the prick. The Bible says it's hard to kick against the prick. But if you're kicking against the word of God, that makes it hard. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. It didn't say the way of a righteous man is hard. It said the steps of a good man are ordered by the what? The Lord.
Lord, amen.
Amen.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, which means that's old song. And I can remember that old song. My grandmother, my great-grandmother used to play that song all the time. Order my steps in your word.
Yeah.
And I was a little kid listening to that song, did not understand that song, but I was over there clapping to it. Now, as an adult, I understand the meaning of that song. Order my steps in what? Your word. Let me read the word of God, and let me understand the word of God, and then you, Lord, you take your word and lead me. Lead me through this thing called life. That's what makes it easy, because you have the Lord leading you. That's why we cannot serve two masters. When you serve two masters, watch this. You become double-minded.
Yes.
You're all jacked
Amen.
Up in the mind.
Amen.
When you serve two masters, when you try to serve this one over here, it's just like a man, and I'm going to use this example. It's just like a man having a wife and having a side chick. Uh-oh.
Preach.
What?
Amen.
Tell them the
it's
truth.
Just like a man it's just like a man having a wife and having a side chick. Now, am I promoting that? No, I'm not. I'm just using it as an example. But it's hard for that man or that woman, because women do it too, and we see it in the church. And anybody that's listening to me today, I don't know who this is for. If you're doing this, you need to stop, because it's hard. It's hard. But it's hard for that man to have a wife at home and children at home and try to please the side chick. This brother Adam, you must have. No, I didn't do it. I just know of people that have done it and got caught. And then when they got caught, they got a dumb look on their face. Yeah, because you got caught.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have got, if you hadn't have done it in the first, if you hadn't been serving two, if you hadn't been pleasing two women, you wouldn't have got caught. You wouldn't have that dumb look on your face. If you had, and I'm being blunt here. I'm being very, very blunt, because today, this is the word of God. We are not here to play. We are living in the end times. If you try to serve God and man, you are double-minded. And the Bible says a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. And when God comes, you'll be having that dumb look on your face. What? God, wait a minute. What did I do? What I thought I didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I teach in your name? You work of iniquity. I never knew you.
Amen.
Depart from me. You work of iniquity. Amen. I never knew you. You'll be having that dumb look on your face, because you done tried to serve God and you done tried to serve man at the same time, and you can't do it. That's why I gave that example. Or that man, or that woman, having a husband or a wife at home, and then you're serving the side piece. Why would you, why? And as a matter of fact, why would we even want the things of the world in our life anyway? We're just, and I'm going to say this. When you use the things of the world and you're in God, this is for people that are in Jesus Christ. When you try to use the things of the world, it's not going to help you no way. Your flesh might think it might, but it's not going to help you. Why? Because you have been brought out of the world. You're peculiar. You're different. So the things of the world is not going to help you. It's just going to bring you further down into a deeper depth of destruction. It's not going to help you. It don't even help the people in the world. What makes you think it's going to help you and you're supposed to be out of the world?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
What? It don't make no sense. It don't make logical sense. It don't make sense. And I'm gonna say this. It don't make logical sense. It don't make scientific sense. It don't make no spiritual sense. What? It don't make no earthly sense. I'm gonna show you something. When we use the things of the world, we are using temporary fixes to major problems in our life. I'm going to say it again. When we use the things of the world for major problems, we're using a temporary solution for a major problem.
Amen.
It's a temporary fix.
Yeah.
You got a big old bruise on your arm, and it's bleeding out real bad, but you try to put a Band-Aid on it and say, oh, I'm all right. That's basically what you're doing. You bleeding out. You losing blood, but you just put a Band-Aid on it. You're still bleeding. You ain't used nothing. You ain't used no cream, no nothing on it. Ain't trying to stop the bleeding, nothing. But you just put a Band-Aid on it and say, oh, I'm good. That's what you're doing when you use the things of the world. That's what you're doing spiritually. Some people try to confide their problems in drinking. You're not going to find it in drinking. You're not going to find it in a man or a woman. You're not going to find it in money. We talked about it last night. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we must commit unto God. Unto God, not unto ourselves. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Get ready, Spirit of Life family. Come on. We have to endow ourselves, Spirit of the Lord, every day.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
When we have this mind change that we talked about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and that is found in there. If you want to look it up in your leisure, you can. But in the Word of God, why do we need belief, the Holy Ghost, and a mind change? Those three things lead us into spiritual discipline. That's why I said it's easy to be saved when you take on spiritual discipline of the mind and spiritual discipline of the heart. What are you talking about, spiritual discipline of the mind and heart? It is a spiritual discipline is defined as habit, as things that we do in Christ. Amen. The Bible says faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
When we take on the work of Christ, when we do the things of Christ, when we're not sitting idle-minded, when God has saved you and then God gives you a ministry, you go on and do that ministry in Jesus' name. When you're going down the street, you're walking down the street for the Lord. When you're sitting at your dinner table, you're sitting at your dinner table for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All of our life, everything in our life revolves the name of Jesus. That's the spiritual discipline. At all times, we are ready. We are equipped for battle at all times. We're always ready for a battle from the enemy, from our flesh. And we're able to say, get thee behind me, Satan. we're able to tell our flesh, bow down to the name of Jesus. We're able to plead the blood of Jesus on any and everything that is not of God. If a spirit that's not of God come into our home, we're ready to fight that spirit. We're ready at all times. Bishop Carver read it last night, to have on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
To have on the whole armor.
Amen. Yes.
To have the helmet of salvation, to have the breastplate of righteousness, to have the shield of faith, to have our feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why do we have to have on these things at all times? Because we never know when the enemy might attack us. We never know when our flesh might attack us. We talked about temptation last night. We never know when we might be tempted. So we got to be on guard at all times.
Amen.
We got to be ready to fight at all times. That's why we cannot serve two masters.
Preach.
We got to serve the master.
Yeah.
We have to serve the master. The master that seals every storm. The master that seals every storm. My former pastor preached a message a long time ago, and it was titled, Master, Steal the Storm. Master, steal the storm. When storms of life are raging in our life, we can ask the master, if we're living right, we can ask the master to steal the storm.
Yes.
Well, I guarantee you, if we crazy enough, and I ain't gonna say the original word that I was gonna say. I was gonna say dumb, but I'm not gonna say that. If we crazy enough, see, we not crazy enough to ask the devil, devil, steal this storm out of my life. We not, because we know that common sense tells us that the devil's not gonna do that. If it's a storm that keeps us away from what God wants us to do, we ain't just gonna say out of the clear blue sky, "Devil, save me from this storm."
He sent the
storm. I'm saying this to make a point. I'm saying this to make a point. That's why we can't. If we don't call on the devil to save us from storms, then why are we using the world's stuff to get us out of the problem?
Yeah. Amen.
If we call on the master to steal the storm, which is Jesus Christ, if we don't call on the devil to steal the storm, why are we calling on things of the world to comfort us in the middle of the storm?
Alms to the devil. Yes.
Glory.
Come on with
it. It makes no sense.
Amen. Amen.
We don't call on the devil because we know the devil is our enemy. But we call on the things of the world. We pick up the things of the world to try to comfort us. You can't do it. It makes no logical sense.
Amen.
My Spirit Alive family's on here, so I'm gonna let them come on in and have some words to say on this topic before I go on on this topic. Does anybody have anything that they want to say regarding this topic?
Uh-huh. Pastor Tuttle, it's Mother Shirley.
Yes.
I just want to thank you for how far this message has been. It's powerful. It's a wonderful message. And one of the points that you brought out that really struck me is about using temporary fixes for major problems. You cannot do it because the temporary fixes only gives you another problem. And more times than not, it's a larger problem. If you have, say you're having a problem with your wife, you're not communicating, you go out and start having affairs with other women and drinking and doing drugs. Look what damage you are doing to yourself when all you had to do, pray about it, pray about everything. I pray about a bad hair day because the Lord knows I take some scissors to it and cut it all off. They'll think I'm Michael Jordan next time they see me. But anyway, you know, you have to, all he had to do was sit down and start praying together with his wife and work it out. Because all the drugs, all the alcohol, all the other women, is just now he's got three more problems. He got women, I don't know how many of them, however many he got, that's how many extra problems he's got. He's got drugs. I don't know what kind he's doing, but if he's doing three different kinds of drugs, he's got three more problems. If he's doing alcohol and he likes scotch one day and vodka the next day and something else the next day or whatever he can get his hands on, he's got that many more problems. Because now he has do something about those. And if he's not able to do anything about those, what makes him think he can do the temporary fixes and he couldn't fix the problem he had to start with?
Yes, so ma'am.
He's just digging himself a deeper and deeper hole.
Yes, ma'am.
And we as Christians that love him or may see him and want better for him, we can't jump in the hole with him because then we can't get out either. Not only can we not get him out, we cannot get ourselves out. If you're in the if the hole is deep enough, you need the power of God to get you out.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
You know, if you can reach down and pull him out, do so by praying for him, by keeping him covered by the grace of God, by giving him the words that he needs in order to become stronger. But don't jump in that hole with him. I'm telling you, you're stuck then too. Amen. And thank you, my brother, for letting me have a few words today. And I love you so, and I hadn't got on your show before, and I'm going to shut up now. And let you go on with your sermon.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Bishop Carver.
Great Lord, Minister Telgon. You know what? I want to encourage Mother Mitchell to join us on this show every Saturday because Minister Telgon always brings the word strong.
Yes.
The one thing I wanted to speak to today was Minister Togo made about what it says in the Bible about a double-minded man being unstable in all his ways. It's fascinating because when you see gangsters in the world, we all have watched The Godfather. And these people, they want to do good. They want to become legitimate. They want to be something they're not. And it's fascinating because in the church, you see the same dynamic in the reverse. You got people who are righteous. Who want to be embraced by the world too. And you can't straddle the fence like that and think you're going to have a reward in eternity. So this is what the Bible says about this. Revelation 22:11. This is not just me talking. Listen to what it says. And it talks about the verse before it says the time is at hand. And then Revelation 22:11 says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. Don't be a gangster trying to be good, trying to get legitimate. You're a gangster, be a gangster, right? He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. Don't. And then it says, look, if that's what you're doing, if God is going to get glory from you in the day of judgment, do what you do. Don't try to pretend to be something you're not. And then it says, he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Don't try to be saved and be embraced by the world. The world rejects you because they reject Christ. They rejected him first. And it says they're going to reject you because they rejected him. So don't try to be embraced by them because nothing you do is going to make sense to them. It's not going to make sense to them when you say, I don't need life insurance. It's not going to make sense to them when you say, I don't need their medicine. It's not going to make sense to them when you say, I don't need their lawyers, because we have that. And so now this is what Jesus Christ says to us, to those of us who say that we are righteous. He says, continue to be righteous still. Those of us who are holy through the blood of Christ, continue to be holy still. And then Jesus Christ says in the next verse, verse 12, he says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So you know what? It's our reward that we ought to be concerned about, because if God is concerned about our reward enough to say that Jesus is coming with the reward in his hand for our work, we ought to be focused on our work. If we're righteous and we're holy, we ought to be doing those works so that when he shows up, we are prepared to receive our reward instead of trying to straddle the fence, trying to have it both ways, trying to feed the flesh and feed the spirit, thinking that either one is going to profit. It's like there's no way to win that like that. You are double-minded, you're unstable in all your ways, and you're going to be living a less than abundant life, and that's not what Jesus Christ died for you to have. He came so that you can live life and live life more than abundantly, mentally, then emotionally, then physically, then financially. So, man of God, keep preaching. But once again, people are going to learn to stop part-timing God and wanting to run to the doctor first instead of running to God, wanting to run to the accountant first instead of running to God, wanting to run to the lawyer first instead of running to God. And all of this stuff, serving money, pleasing people, leaning to your own understanding, and operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities, that is evil. It's evil and it's wicked. That's what we have to be delivered from so that we can learn to serve God and not money, please God and not people, trust God and not ourselves, and obey God instead of our flesh. So, man of God, it's all yours. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on your show.
Yes, sir. Apostle Cook. Amen. Okay, she's busy. Amen. But I thank God for this teaching or this word or whatever you want to call it. Amen. We have. And I thank God for all of the words that were said from the Spirit Alive Network family. We have an obligation to the Lord Jesus Christ. We had an obligation even before we got saved. We just didn't know it.
Know it. Amen. Amen.
We just didn't know it. We had an obligation before we got saved to the Lord because we were bought with a price.
Yeah.
He shed his blood for us so that we might have right to eternal life. So we had an obligation to him in the very beginning when he died. We just didn't know it because we were blinded by the things of the world. We were blinded by sin.
Amen.
But on the flip side of that, I said that we were going to talk about the mind, because it all starts with the mind. It all starts with the mind. For us to have, for us to be able to walk in Christ, we have to walk in spiritual discipline. That's why I said it's easy to be saved if you're walking in spiritual discipline. Now, watch this. How do we walk in spiritual discipline? How do we have a spirit of discipline, of spiritual discipline? Because it doesn't take a special person. It does not take and when I say this, I'm not saying literally. It does not take a form of a magic wand for you to be spiritual minded. It takes the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Preach.
Amen. It takes the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, and your due diligence to walk with him. But it, yes. But also, for you to be able to do your due diligence, you have to have the mindset. What is the mindset? Mm-hmm. The mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
The mind of Christ.
Amen.
We have to take on the mind of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now watch this.
Amen.
In Philippians, in Philippians chapter number 2, verse 5, and I'm going to go here and read it to you. Amen. If we look in Philippians, if we look in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, if we go there, and I'm using the Bible. I'm flipping through pages, y'all. Amen. But it reads, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. What this is saying is we have to take on the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Our ways are not his ways.
Amen.
And our thoughts are not his thoughts. I said
Amen.
It. I believe I said it last week or the week before. God is not going to bless us in the way we think he should bless us. He's either going to come, and 9 times out of 10, he ain't going to come the way you think he is. He's not going to do it. Because he wants to blow your mind when he blesses you. So he's either going to, in the day that you think he's going to come, he ain't going to come. That's why people have tried to predict the Lord's coming. I'm going to show you that our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts. That's why we got to be in the mind of Christ. People have tried to predict the coming of the Lord. And I'm going to use this as an example. And I'm going to show you something. Now, people have tried to predict the coming of the Lord. In the year 2000, they tried to predict the coming of the Lord in the year 2000. They said January 1st of the year 2000, Jesus was coming back. I was in church that day. I was a kid. I was in church that day. I'm like, oh, gosh, we about to be raptured out. We about to get out of here. We about to fly. I thought that way as a kid. Now, I didn't know because I was still young in the Lord. But my father told me, he said, he's not coming today, which my father was right. Now, he wasn't trying to predict the coming of the Lord when he told me that, but he was saying that to allow me to learn the mind of Christ. He said, Adam, the Lord is not going to come when they predict on the day that they predict him coming. He said he's either going to come before or after. He's either going to come before or after. He's not going to come on that day. You can rest assured he's not going to come on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing that we have to have. Now, when we take on the mind of Christ, will we know when the Lord's coming is? No, that does not mean that. That
Amen.
Does not mean that. So let me clarify for people that are listening. Just because you have the mind of Christ does not declare that you'll know when the coming of the Lord is, because no man know when the coming of the Lord shall be. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
But what I'm saying is you'll have the mindset to live right. You'll have the mindset to be able to cast out those spirits that try to come against you. You'll have the power to say no. You'll have the power to tell the enemy, no, I got the Holy Ghost. And guess what? With the power of, with as it says in the word of God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You'll be able to use those scriptures mightily because you'll be in the mindset of Christ and you'll have God on the inside of you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Now, let's drop down to, yes, ma'am. Did you say something?
Oh, I did not. Me? I didn't, hon.
Yes,
I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Now let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23. Because you might say, well, you just read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, that we got to have the mind of Christ. Now watch this. Watch this. Let's go to Proverbs. This is why the Old Testament is Christ concealed and the New Testament is Christ revealed. It goes hand in hand. That's why I don't understand some of these church stories that say, well, I follow the New Testament only. You need the Old and the New Testament. That's another topic for another day. But in Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7. Amen. And it reads, this is why we need to have the mind of Christ. Amen. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
Amen. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Such as a man thinketh, so is he. If you have the mind of Christ, you'll be able to be spiritually disciplined to be able to follow and obey the word of God. How, you might say, well, how do I know that I'll be able to have the mind of, with the mind of Christ, I'll be able to obey the word of God? I'm not Jesus. I'm not, because Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Well, I'm not Jesus. Jesus is all powerful. Jesus, but let me show y'all something. Even though Jesus was all powerful, the human side of him, the natural side of him, the fleshly side of him, did not want to die. What? You mean Jesus didn't want to? Yes. Jesus did not want to die. But he was obedient unto death.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said if you have the mind of Christ, you'll have the power to be obedient to the word of God. You'll have the power to live right. Let's go back to Philippians. Because it's such as a man think, I read this verse, because such as a man thinketh, so is he. That's why the Bible says, think on these things. Think on these things. Amen. That's why in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
Preach.
Amen.
So your mind will be transformed as of the mind of Christ. You'll take on the mind of Christ to be obedient to the word of God and to be able to tell all sin, no, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you will not be in that double-minded category. Amen. Let's go to, if you don't
Amen.
Believe me, I'm gonna clarify. Jesus' flesh did not want to die. You saying that Jesus didn't want to die for me? No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is the flesh. Look, okay. Before we read this, I'm gonna clarify this. Me personally, and this is me, I'm gonna use me. I ain't gonna use nobody else. Nobody wants to die. Now, we know that we have an eternal life in heaven and all this stuff, and that's great. But just to willfully die, just to step outside the door and knowing that you're going to die, because this is what Jesus went through. This is what Jesus went through. He knew he was going to be put to death. And not only did he know that he was going to be put to death, he knew the extent of the death.
Yeah.
He knew everything that was going to happen to him.
Oh,
that's why his fleshly side did not want to die.
Yeah.
That's why. If you knew today that you were going to die today, Lord forbid, But if you knew today that you was going to die today, and you knew the extent of where you were going to die, and I'm just using this as an example. I'm not speaking death on nobody. I'm just using this as an example. Say if a man was to die and they knew, oh, I'm going to die in a car crash today. Well, I ain't going to get in my car. I'm not about to go in my car.
Yes.
Or I'm walking down the street and somebody going to come up and shoot me. I'm not going outside because I don't want to die. If I know the extent of it, I'm not going to go outside. Now, why would I be nutty and go get in my car and I know I'm going to die in a car accident? No, because I don't want to die. I'm not going to walk into death. But that's what Jesus did. Jesus knew the extent of his death. That's why his flesh side did not want to die. In Philippians 2:8, let's go to Philippians 2:8 because I'm going to clarify it for you. I'm going to show you in the Word of God. Let's go to Philippians 2:8 to show that we can be obedient to the Word of God, even unto death. And the reason why I say unto death, because I'm going to give this example. I'm going to show you. But let's turn to Philippians. Amen. Philippians 2:8. Amen. I pray that somebody's getting something out of this, because this is me. This is not my word. I do not claim the rights to this word. This is God's word. This is not the book of Adam. This is the word of God. Amen. And so when we look at this, it shows us, and I'm trying to turn to it. That's why I'm talking so much. But Bishop Carver, can you do me a favor, sir?
Sure, man of God.
Can you get Philippians 2:8 for me?
Philippians 2:8. Sure. Okay. Philippians 2:8.
Yes, sir.
All right. Would you like me to read it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Philippians 2:8. It says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
Amen. There you go. His flesh did not want to die. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, which means,
amen,
don't let no death come upon me. And his fleshly side was talking. You might say, well, he was talking to God, so there must be, and that's another show for another time. But I'm going to go there a little bit. He was talking to himself. He was talking to the spiritual side of himself. His fleshly side was talking to the spiritual side of himself. But he was still obedient to the will of what the will was of himself. He was obedient to the will of himself. Sometimes we can't even be obedient to the will of our own self. When we make plans, some of us can't even be obedient to the plans that we make in our own life.
Amen. Amen.
It's jacked all the way up, but it is true. Some of us cannot be obedient to the plans we have in our own life. For example, I'm going to be honest. I got in trouble yesterday. I did. I got in trouble by my wife. My wife said, Adam, you were supposed to go take the dog outside and give the dog a bath. And I forgot. I forgot. I forgot. And I said, baby, I said, well, I wasn't committed to the plan that I made. Just to show you an example. It's a minute example, but it's still an example nonetheless. But I told my wife that I was going to do this thing. And I wasn't obedient to the plan that I had. So I got in trouble for it. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. We have to be obedient to the plan and the will of God. And the only way we can be obedient to the will of God is by us doing what the will of God says for our life.
Amen.
If God has told you something, to do something, do it. Because I'm going to tell you for two reasons. Number one, if you don't do it, you're in sin because you're being disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, if you don't do it and you die, you're gonna miss heaven because you die with your works being undone. You might say, well, how am I gonna miss? Because you die with your works being undone.
That's right.
One more. One thing that God told you to do and you didn't do it, and all of a sudden a person passes away without doing it, you think they're going to see heaven? Or God told you to witness to somebody. See, I'm going to hit it home today. God told you to witness to somebody and you said, no, I'm too afraid, God, because that person, you know, that person has been mean to me on my job and all this stuff, and I don't think they're going to receive me, and you don't do it, and they go out and something happened to them. Now the blood is on your hands.
Too late.
Now you won't answer to God for them. It's good to listen to the voice of God, whether it be from the Word, whether it be from the pastor, whether it be from any source that God gives you understanding and clarification on what he wants you to do. Amen. That
Amen.
Is why we need to be, this is, and I said it yesterday, I said it last night, that's why we have to be confounded. We have to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We have to be surrounded by God at all times.
Yes. Yes.
We have to
Amen.
Be ready at all times for anything. We have to keep communication with God at all times. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Okay. Well, that means don't stop praying. Some people stop praying when they get to a place in their life, they feel like, oh, well, I'm at this place in my life. I don't have to pray no more. I'll pray on the next problem. Uh-uh. He is not, Jesus is not a Santa Claus. You only come to God when you're going through problems. Uh-uh. He is not a Santa Claus. Santa Claus ain't even real. Santa Claus is not real. But Jesus is.
Amen.
The tooth fairy is not real, but Jesus is.
Amen.
All of these things that we go through in life, God is aware of everything that we go through in life. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God is aware of everything we go through in life. Even before we go through it, he knows. You might say, well, if God already knows, why would he send me through it? With the test comes the testimony of Christ. Without the test, there is no testimony. You can't brag on God unless God has done something for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't talk about Jesus and what he's done for you until he allows you to go through a situation and God brings you out of that situation.
Out. Yes. Yes.
We can't talk about God. We have an old song that says, God is a good God. Oh, yes, he is. We can't sing that song unless we go through the test.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can't say God is a good God unless we go through the trials of our life.
Amen. Amen.
We can't quote Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose, unless we go through the bad times in our life.
Yes.
All things work together.
Trial. Get you somewhere. Preach, baby. Preach. Come on. Come on.
You have to go through the trials and the trials and the agonies of life. And sometimes it might hurt. Sometimes it might be painful. Sometimes you might get talked about. Sometimes you might get ridiculed. But guess what?
Yeah.
Just know that Jesus is there, and you do not have to serve the devil. You do not have to. You do not have to go to other elements. You do not have to go else other places to get the relief that you need. You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people in life today that are looking for life in all the wrong places. My former pastor
mm-hmm.
said that in her very last sermon that she preached before the Lord took her home. She said, a lot of people are looking for life in all the wrong places. They're looking for life in all the wrong places. And all they need to do is look to the hills from which cometh their help.
Amen. Come on, baby. Come on. Preach it.
They only need to look to the hills from which cometh their help, because their help
yes.
cometh from the Lord. They only need to look to the light. They only, if they don't know how to live life, look to the light.
Yes.
How do I look to the light? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light.
Yes.
Look to the
yes.
light. If you... There is a lot of people living on this earth, but they are not living. And they're living double-minded because they don't know how to live. But every problem, every answer to life is founded in the Word of God.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
is. Every issue that you face with is found, there's an answer to it in the Word of God.
Yes.
Now, you might get seminary books and all this stuff, but I guarantee you, you read that seminary book, there's scriptures tied to the Word of God that will lead you right back to the Word of God.
Mhm. Mhm.
You can go to seminary school, but I guarantee you, you go to seminary school, them seminary schools and them big doctorate Bible schools, why do you think they call that Bible college?
Mhm.
Because they're going to teach you from the Word of God about life. There's a lot of things, and I'm going to be very, very honest. There's a lot of things that I should have learned in school that I did not learn in school that I learned from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I went into, and I say this as a testimony now, I did not know how to read being in high school. I didn't know how to read, period. I was in special ed classes, special education classes all my life, all through school, from elementary all the way up to high school. And I did not know how to read. I didn't know how to do math appropriately. I didn't even know, to tell you the truth, I didn't even know how to count money like that. That well. But guess what? I didn't learn how to count money. I didn't learn how to read in school. I learned how to count money by my pastor letting me do the offering. I learned percentage by knowing the percentage of my tithes.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to read by reading the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things that the world cannot teach you. I said that to say this. There are some things in this world that the world will not be able to teach you, even in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
There are natural things that the world cannot teach you, that people cannot teach you. And it will only come from the Word of God. If you want, Bishop Carver is a great example of this. You want to learn business? You want to learn how to have a good foundational business? Ask Bishop Carver. Bishop Carver will tell you, I sought the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You have to seek the face of God. You have to seek him in everything that we do. In everything that we do, we got to seek him. We got to seek answers from him before we even go into the into that new, and I'm using this as an example, before we go into that new contract, we got to seek the Lord before we do it.
Yes.
Why? Because it gives all glory and honor. Everything that we do is supposed to give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we move in our own way, it won't give him glory. It won't give him honor. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But if we move in our own way, we're giving honor to ourselves. And God said, I will not give my glory unto another.
Yes.
Amen?
Jealous God. Yes.
He's a jealous, right, Mother. He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God, and he will not give his glory to another. That's why everything that we do, whether we have children, whether we have a family, whether we have a wife, whether we have a job, any place that we go, we must do it unto the honor and the glory of God.
Amen.
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 We got to do it.
Good. That's right.
That's why Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because our deeds must be met. Our deeds must be done in the name of Jesus, to honor the name of Jesus. I can't take no credit of my own. I didn't get myself out of that problem. But it was the God that is on the inside of me that got me out. It was his guidance that got me out. It was his guidance that got me, that saved me in that court hearing, okay? It was his guidance that brought me through. It was his healing that brought me out of that surgery. It was his healing. It was his protection that brought me out of that accident.
Yes.
There was no goodness of my own. All righteousness are as filthy rags. I'm out, man. Oh my God. Let me read. Oh man. In Matthew chapter 26, I want to finish this up because I got two scriptures that I want to read real quick, and then I'm finished. Jesus. Flesh did not want to die. We said that. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, I'm going to show you. Amen. Matthew 26, verse 39. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. I'm going to show you in the Word of God. I love the fact that Jesus obeyed the will of himself. But I'm going to read this to you. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 says, and he went a little further and fell down and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will.
Yes. Amen.
He was obedient. He was saying, let it pass from me. If it be thy will, let it pass from me. Sometimes we got to say, Lord, if this is not the way you want me to take, Lord, give me another way.
Yes. Yeah.
My pastor, Pastor William Tuggle, when he was working, because he's retired now, but back when he was working, he was on his job, and a person lied on him, and this lie got so far that he was pending termination on his job. And I know he don't mind me telling this because he tells it as a testimony. But he was in the middle of that, and he was waiting to see if he was going to get his job back. And he had a family of 5 children and a wife to take care of. And he tells this testimony, and he says he told the testimony about how one day we was at church, and our pastor, our former pastor, said, put the biggest bill that you have in your wallet or in your purse, put it in the offering plate. And he said he had one $100 bill and a couple ones. And he put that $100 in that plate out of obedience to the word of God.
Glory.
2 weeks later, he got his job back. 2 weeks later, he got his job back. And on top of that, he got the pay that he deserved. On top
mm-hmm.
of.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
What are you saying, Minister Adam? I'm saying that if we obey the voice of God, if we, I say it all the time, Jesus in our life is a spiritual GPS. If we follow that spiritual GPS, he'll never stir us wrong any time in our life.
Amen.
He will never steer you wrong. But we got to understand that we got to follow the plan of God at all times.
Yeah.
If my father had not followed the plan of God and listened to the voice of the Lord, 9 times out of 10, he wouldn't have got his job back. Because I guarantee you, he went back to work 2 weeks later. And not only that, he told this testimony too about how we didn't have no food in the house, and he was wondering how he was going to feed all his children and his wife and himself. And all of a sudden, God sent somebody that he never thought would come, bringing him bags of food.
Yeah.
Means 30 and 40 bags of food out of nowhere.
Yeah.
All because he listened to the voice of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Not out of nowhere, out of God's coffers. That's where it comes from. God sends.
Amen.
It. Oh, yeah. He'll
Amen.
Come and see about
God
you.
Sent,
I know that. Sorry, Pastor.
God
Sorry.
Sent a raven. God
Ooh.
Sent a raven. To take
yes.
care of my father's family.
Yes.
Because
mm-hmm.
if we follow the plan of God, if we follow the plan of God, we won't be stirred wrong.
Yes.
Let me give you this last scripture, and then we're going to go home. We're going to get out of here. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, amen, I want to show you in the word of God where the Lord submitted himself. He submitted himself. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, and it reads, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Not my Amen. Will, but your will be done in my life. Not my will, but your will be done in my life. We can't serve two masters. And anybody thinking about which side you should serve, I'm going to tell you this. Why die at the doctor's door? And you're right there at the break of your mirror. You're at the hospital. You're near the hospital, but you died at the doctor's door. God is, and I said that to say this, in the closing of this, God has his arms stretched wide open, ready to receive you unto himself. He's ready to receive you unto himself. And if you have a thought of, well, Brother Adam, I still don't know. Look, let me tell you something. This is the best life that you could ever live. Because holiness without which no man shall see the Lord.
Yes.
When you come unto this salvation, you come unto a royal nation. You are royal unto God. You are a royal priesthood. You're royalty unto him. Because he's royal. But you got to be holy. If you follow this, if you come unto this great salvation, which is found in Acts 2 and 38. Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And verse 39 says, and this promise is unto you and unto your children and to those that are far off. Amen. Which means this goes on from generation to generation to generation.
Yes. Amen.
Until the coming of the Lord, the Holy Ghost is being given out. He said in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Yes.
But it's up to you, when he pours out his spirit, it's up to you to take your spiritual cup and let it overflow.
Yeah. Amen.
As it says in Psalms 23, where it talks about the cup running over, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That goodness and that mercy dwells in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So this is the altar call today. If you don't have the Holy Ghost today, I don't beg nobody to do anything for me, but I beg you to receive the Holy Ghost today. Speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. No form, no fashion. I don't have any special cloths or anything like that. All I have is Jesus. Such as I have, I give unto thee. I give
Amen.
You Jesus. I give you Jesus today. No cars, no money. I'm not having no big name. I don't have all that. But such as I have, I give unto thee, and I give you Jesus, the best name above all names.
Yes.
You want a name today? I give you Jesus.
Jesus.
You want a famous name? I give you Jesus.
Yes.
He's better than anything. He's better
yes,
than anything in this world. He's better than the
yes.
Benjamin. He's better than the Franklins. He's better than the Beyoncés and the Jay-Z's of the world. He's better than the Kirk Franklins and the Bishop T.D. Jakes's of the world. He's better than he's better than the Minister Adam Tuggles of the world. He's better than the Bishop Carvers of the world. I give you Jesus today.
Oh, yes.
He is the one. He said there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved.
He
saved. I did not save you. I could not save you. Adam Tuggle did not save you. Bishop Carver did not save you. Mother didn't save you. Father didn't save you. But Jesus went to a cross. He was beaten beyond recognition just for you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say like my former pastor said, and then we're going to end it. If you were the only person on the face of the earth, he would have done it just for you.
Yes, he did.
He loves you that much. There's an old song that says, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so.
Tells me so. Yes.
He loves us that much that he was able to die. He said in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. He so loved.
Yes.
He so loved you enough to die for you. He so loved me that he died for me. He so loved you to give you right to the tree of life. He said that I came that you might have life and that more abundant way.
Yes.
Come unto this life.
Amen.
Come unto this life.
Glory to God.
I praise God for each and every one of you. On this Monday, come and listen to the Summit Internet Radio podcast, amen, on Spotify, on iHeartRadio. I do another podcast other than this, but make sure that also you tune into the Spirit Alive Network all this week. Tune into it, because we got some great word coming, amen, from the men and women of God. And it is our due diligence. We preach this word because we want you to be transformed. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, as my grandmother used to say, my grandmother Lois used to say this all the time, if I don't see you again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name, this is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network. In Jesus' name, God bless you. God bless you, man and woman of God.
God bless
everybody.
You.
I love you. In Jesus'
love
name,
you.
God bless you. Love you.
Amen.